You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, here with myself, Robbie Musto, and with my friend Robbie Earle. Now, this is a Europod midweek version or episode, and we like to react to the games involving the Premier League sides in the Champions League. It's Wednesday today, so we've seen most of the football over the last couple of days, Rob, and let's start with the most recent one, the game that I've just stopped finished watching. Manchester United somehow found a way to lose against Basel, and I mean, lots of changes, seven changes from the team that beat Newcastle United, but still, by the way, a strong team. Pogba played, Lukaku played, Martial came in, Fellaini played as well, Rojo made his...
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, I was... After the first half, I thought it was very much in control, United. Lacked a little bit of creativity and a little bit of ruthless finishing around the box. Hit the crossbar, they came real close, but didn't play that well. And second half was... You know, was really, really poor. What did you kind of your main thoughts on it?
Do you know my main thoughts, Robert? It became a nuisance game for Manchester United, and it shouldn't be, because there's some players who played who were maybe in the second best 11 at United, but they're playing to get back in the first team picture. You know, United with a point probably could have guaranteed qualification. Now that they've got to go to their last game,
got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, which just I don't think Jose needed or wanted at this. It should be okay. CSKA Moscow, where they've got to get at least a point, but it's a nuisance value, Rob. We're in a game that, you know, you never know in European football. You know, they come and score early and make it difficult. I think it was just a bit disappointing for some of those players who are sitting on the periphery. And we know with Jose, he has his strongest 11 or 12 players. And I think this is another one of those days where there won't be too many knocking on his door saying, why aren't I in the first 11, boss? It's a little bit like the team is almost picking itself its best team. And that's not necessarily a good thing, I don't think.
Don't you think it's a little bit worrying that United, particularly in the second half, just didn't look very good? Just didn't look very good, Rob. I mean, I know
disjointed a little bit.
Yeah, but isn't that more worrying? I mean, we can quickly talk over this game. We can quickly say, you know what, United should be okay. It's not a difficult group. They're sat at the top. Yeah. I just, you know, particularly when Paul Pogba went out of the game.
Yeah,
I think
Matic came on and looked.
I mean, it was his turnover
that gave the ball away. The two wing backs managed to create the goal. But I'm with you. The quality of Manchester United.
Right.
The size of salaries, the names that you see should be good enough to go to Basel and get a victory, be in control of the match and see the club through. So I would think that's just a slight worry to Jose Mourinho. Listen, we've got a lot of games coming up over this next period, November, December, where he may have to call on some of those second string players. And what you saw tonight wouldn't put you in great light. Let's move it forward to Chelsea. They played away at Carabao today, 4-0 winners. Pretty comfortable for Antonio Conte's thing. A couple of things stood out to me, Rob. David Luiz back in the starting lineup, so dropped against Manchester United, on the bench against West Brom, now back in the team. That's the way Antonio Conte manages his clubs, and I think we've both said we like that. It was a change back to the old system, the Premier League winning system, where it was a 3-4-3. He played three more attacking players. Morata was left on the bench. Hazard played pretty much at the top of the team, scored goals. William got a couple. Everything just clicked into place again for Chelsea. And there's an option and a dimension about Chelsea that gives them something different, doesn't it? The way they can swap between these systems but seem comfortable whichever way they go.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't that much different, is it? I mean, it's just,
it's
know,
just
I
the three up
like,
front or the two.
Yeah, the two. Three wider or two more narrow together. And the two means that you bring in an extra midfield player. Bakayoko didn't play today. I particularly like the shape at the moment with Bakayoko and Kante and Cesc Fabregas. Mm. I think it's good for Willian. A couple of goals for him. There's another he's a good player. And there's talk about Man United wanting to buy him potentially in January. But yeah, I think so. I mean, Morata came in for Hazard in the 65th minute. So
just have a run
of course,
out,
yeah, they got that big game. We got that big game on Saturday at Anfield against Liverpool, which is, you know, is going to be absolutely huge. So I get there's a little bit of rotation. It was a perfect night for Antonio Conte, and I think this Chelsea team, even though we hear little rumours of the players being a little bit unhappy with the training methods, it's getting a little bit boring, a little bit dry for what they have to do every day. I'm liking what's happening at Chelsea.
And they're nothing going about a 4-0 win, is it?
No, they're getting better. They're getting better, I think. And, yeah, it's good for them.
Let's go back to Tuesday night, because there were three of the Premier League teams playing that night. Tottenham away at Borussia Dortmund. Good come-from-behind win for Tottenham. Harry Kane and Heung-min Son getting the goals. Kane and Ali looking more like the players that we've seen. Good response from Spurs after the defeat in the North London Derby, where they were a bit flat, never really got going.
Yeah, I mean, I like I like Winks back in. I, you know, the more I see him, the more I'm thinking he's a really nice footballer. It's a mistake, I think, not to play him against Arsenal. So I like him back in the centre of midfield. And when you look at their group, by the way, Rob, I mean, full marks. I mean, Spurs, we kind of go from one podcast where we're like, they're brilliant, and then another one, we're like, wow, they're disappointing.
Every time you want to be definitive on them, they throw in the middle that chucks you off.
A difficult group it is, and they're top of a group with Real Madrid and Dortmund underneath.
People are saying they might not get out of that group, and fair play to them. They've played the big boys and gone toe-to-toe. So that will give them a bit of confidence, and hopefully they can take that into the league. They're at home to West Bromwich Albion at the weekend, who are managerless at the moment. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the podcast. But no, things ticking on nicely for Spurs again. Good response to the North London Derby. Manchester City, they got the job done late. Raheem Sterling again coming up with goals. He's certainly adding productivity, Rob, to the way he plays. And it was a bit of a second-string Manchester City, if we look at it in similar vein to Manchester United. Yaya Toure back in, Gundogan back in the team, Bernardo Silva. But still getting the job done, still finding a way to get goals. And might this be something we see from City as they go through either this tournament and obviously topping the Premier League? A little bit of switching and resting players between competitions?
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to do that. He's done it before, and he's continuing to do it. I mean, Aguero played in this game. He can certainly switch those, no problem. Bernardo Silva and Gundogan, as you said. Yaya Toure played in the midfield as well. Kevin De Bruyne seems to play all the time, Rob. I can't remember many times he gets rested. So a little bit concerned, you know, that maybe at some point it's going to catch up with him because he's been so incredibly good. I think defensively, I mean, it's a good, you know, clean sheet today at home is always good, or yesterday. Yeah. But Mangala, Otamendi, Walker and Danilo, I mean, is there enough there? We know they've got some defensive issues. But, I mean, they're just grooved at the moment. 4-3-3, very much a set system now. And, you know, it wasn't brilliant against Feyenoord. They had to be a little bit patient. But the development and the improvement of Raheem Sterling, you know, we've talked about managers in the Premier League. I think Pep and Pochettino are right up there with improving what they've already got. I don't think you can say anybody at Manchester United, Rob, is really improved from working with Jose Mourinho. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of, you know, I think that's something that Mourinho.
You could argue Rashford possibly.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's looked a bit better, but I don't think that's something that you think of Jose Mourinho being a real developer and improver of players, where we certainly see that at Spurs and Man City with Raheem Sterling.
Just before we delve into Liverpool, because that seems to be the subject of much debate over the last 24 hours, just on Pep Guardiola and Manchester City, I just want to throw a scenario out on you. And listen, probably the real answer is they'd want to win both the Champions League and the Premier League. But if Pep Guardiola in this season can win one trophy and one trophy only, do you think he goes the Champions League that he's won before that gives him a bigger resonance over Europe? Or do you think he wants to win the Premier League playing the way that Pep set out playing football? One or the other?
Great question. Champions League. If he can take the Champions League, if he can make City, dear, I mean, Man City to win the Champions League, yeah. Rob, that, I mean, they've won the Premier League before, and yeah, I get your argument on the other side of it, but to win the Champions League, I mean, that would be phenomenal for himself, for his own record, but for the club, I mean, that elevates him into something totally new. That's what I mean. Why are you saying the other way?
I just think because it's been out there since he came into English football. You can't win the title playing the way he plays. If they were to get to quarterfinal, semi-finals, Champions League, glorious failure and go out and win the Premier League,
that'd be great.
And I think for him, personally, he's won the Champions League. Maybe then, having won the league, playing his way, the next step is right. We're serious on Champions League. But something just tells me that there's a steeliness about him that he wants to prove all the doubters, wrong. That I heard him last week saying tackling. He says, "I've never practiced tackling in my career with my blood." I mean, he doesn't really want to know that side of the game. He said it's part of the game and you have to do it. But he said, "I'm not practicing it. That's not what I do." And it just makes me think, deep down, he wants to almost put two fingers up to the rest of the English media and English pundits who've said, his defence isn't good enough, he can't do it his way. I just think he might want to win that Premier League. But listen, another manager who I think has been brought into a football club at Liverpool to try and get them their first Premier League win, Jurgen Klopp, continues to have his frailties, Rob, and his disappointments. A team that's 3-0 up, away from home against Sevilla, 3-0 after 30 minutes, absolutely cruising the game. Mm. And I don't think there was that many people surprised in the end that the scoreline finished 3-3. How long can this continue with Jurgen Klopp?
Well, I know it's the story and we're going to talk about it, but I just quickly want to talk about how good they were in the first half and how good they are going forward and how good some of the recruitment's been at this football club under him. Yeah. When you're bringing in Mo Salah into the football club, he's pairing him with Mane and Firmino and Coutinho in midfield. I mean, in the first half, in my notes, I've written down and this is typical of Liverpool. I've got, two or three players added to this team, and that's a champion team.
But isn't that the problem,
that's
Rob?
That's my first half notes for them, and then they get into the second half, and I'm like, what the... and then you start going on to the negative side of it again. And, just on that a little bit, Rob, I think when you continue to have faith in Alberto Moreno, Dejan Lovren, and one of the two goalkeepers, because they both haven't been brilliant. That's three players out of a defensive four and a goalkeeper that in any day can cost you a mistake, a goal, a match, points. And it might be a little bit harsh. It's a matter of time before Moreno made a big mistake. He made two in this game, very rash. He got dragged off. Milner comes in. And it's just the stubbornness, his stubbornness to think that his players that he loves and he trusts are going to be good enough in difficult situations. Because the second half, that pressure that Sevilla put on them, it was just too much for this back four to handle.
It's interesting. You talk about the back four, and I'll say pick the best back four, whatever it is. If it's Lovren and Matip, if it's Klamen and Matip, if it's Gomez or even
Moreno
or thing. And the goalkeeper. Pick who you want is Liverpool's best back five. I don't think they get into any of the other top six teams. Nowhere near. Pick any top six team and think any Liverpool player goes in there and makes them better. I don't think there is, Rob. So, some players are making individual mistakes, but generally the quality of goalkeeper and back four is not top six. And here's something for you. And you're right that we the difficult thing about Liverpool is it's hard to appreciate so much of what they do going forward because it always comes back to, they're letting goals in at the end. And yesterday we should be marvelling at a great attacking performance that maybe you win 3-0 and you say away from home, they're devastating. But we're not. And here's one for you. You talk about that attacking talent and you're right. You talk about the scouting in the network and you're right. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain costs you around $40 million. You don't necessarily know where his best position is. You don't necessarily fit him into your first 11. Davinson Sanchez, $40 million. Centre-back changes the whole look and feel of that defence. So when you talk about good recruitment and that, I'm 100% with you. Yeah. But when you go and spend $40 million on a player that I don't think you know yet where's his best position and where he fits in your first 11. Yet you could go and plug Davinson Sanchez into, next to Matip and make a huge... Or if you want to go then three at the back, you've got a different option. And you're not looking there. That tells me that the manager is negligent of what the thing, what the important thing is. What, let's get another forward player. Let's score another goal, but we're not defending at the back. So the next thing will be 4-4. Oxlade-Chamberlain might cross one, hasn't had the best start to his Liverpool career, and we get another goal, but at the back we're going to concede.
But that's his recruitment, and I absolutely agree with everything you just said there. You know, the recruitment defensively has been awful. Okay, so that's, we both agree on that.
Yeah.
But furthermore, I mean, a couple of things even in this game. Another corner kick that goal conceded where it falls to somebody in between those zones. He sticks in the back of the net. They're 3-1, Rob, under massive pressure, and yet he doesn't make a substitution on Moreno or Coutinho. He's slow to be pragmatic. You know, where Mourinho would like make changes real quick to be defensive and to be stronger.
Why is that, Rob? Is that his stubbornness? Is he not as tactically aware?
I don't know.
Is there something in him that he
James
thinks,
Milner.
We'll get... Yeah, James Milner.
James Milner came
hole.
On, and all of a sudden, the drama from the left side of Liverpool's defence was eased. No nervousness, no drama. Moreno's been better. He has been better, and he's been a bit more secure, a little bit safer going
better than
forward.
Terrible. He's been better than terrible.
Yeah. I agree. And Andrew Robertson is a fullback they brought in, and I've no idea why he's not pushing. He wasn't on the bench. When I saw him play for Liverpool, he's had a couple of appearances. He looked really good, put some great crosses in. Why is he not playing? So there's these kind of decisions. Put in Lovren bucket. It's like, what is he doing? What is he thinking? And it's such a not an outlier, but it's like, wow, everything else with his makeup is so good. Defensively, this is going to continue.
And you know, I was watching the game first off, and as you, I'm writing my notes, and I'm thinking almost first off, sublime. You go to second off, slapstick. It's like Keystone's cops defending. There's no stability. You don't know what's going to come. So I want to throw this back out to you, and I think we've touched on it before. Jurgen Klopp, strip away the personality, the media friendly, the good guy. We all embrace him. Strip that away. I'll tell you what else, let me say. Strip away his nationality. Let's say this was an English coach, Brendan Rodgers' style, and these things were happening. Would there be more scrutiny with him and about his job? Does Jurgen Klopp get a little bit of an easier ride because he's a good fella and we see a lot of that attacking stuff? But, you know, under Brendan Rodgers, the argument was they could score goals from here, there and everywhere, but defensively they weren't good enough to win titles to get into the top two. And, I mean, that's what we're talking about now. Yet Liverpool still sit. Outside the top four.
I think under Brendan Rodgers, Rob, at the end, things went stale. And we're not at that point. We're just not. I mean, they've had a brilliant little run of late. They've won the last three games in the Premier League. They've got the guys back, and there's a lot of positivity about the place. And, you know, it seems to kind of like a roller coaster, isn't it? He's high 1 minute and he's down the next minute. And I know where you're going. I'm still not ready. I think there's so many positives with what he brings. And you can strip down this, and you can strip down that. But the attacking football and the balance and the blend that he's got with those front players,
How long can we go with the defensive thing? How long can he have it out on the defensive
thing?
How many more windows can we say?
We've got to expect him to do something about it in January. And if not, by the way, it's not just about the window. Does Mourinho continue to play then when you've got Andrew Robertson? You've got Milner that played there last season.
You know, what do you do with Lovren? Do you drag him off after 30 minutes against Spurs? Does he continue to play and still make mistakes?
Defensively,
let's also talk about the corner kicks, Rob. It's a collective. Yeah. It isn't just your back four. It's a collective. It's an attitude. It's like, I'll mark this man. I won't concede. That's a bigger thing. That's a bigger worry. That's not individual mistakes that are costing them. And times you feel a little bit sorry for the manager. When collectively, from set pieces, you continue to give up goals, it's a worry, Robert, for a team that want to win titles and win the biggest silverware.
Listen, let's put a percentage on this, okay, to finalise this defensive part. Give me a percentage of the problem that's personnel and a percentage that's the manager's kind of tactics.
That's a good question. Personnel is probably 60-40 in terms of personnel more than the manager.
So I'm giving the manager a bit more credit. I would say more personnel issues is 75%. You know, I think it's more about the players that you're putting a little bit more blame on the coach in terms
a little
of
bit
organizing
more coach.
Them.
A, he's picking them, and B, but, I don't like the collective from set pieces and corner kicks and goalkeeper. They look not sure at all.
Yep.
Well, listen, that's worked for Jurgen Klopp in an interesting week in Europe. Just one team I just got to mention, but before we move on to a little bit of Premier League action, Paris Saint-Germain, 7 more against Celtic. I mean, are they almost becoming the team to beat now in this competition, Paris Saint-Germain?
I think they are. I really do. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Manchester City, you know, and what they've. I just think there's a little bit. There's more experience further on this competition. I think with some of the players that they sign now, it looks pretty ridiculous when you think of Neymar and Kylian Mbappe that scored again today. Edison Cavani's getting a couple of goals today as well. You know, you've got a midfield with Verratti and Rabiot. I think they're a little bit further ahead for the experience. And some real quality in the attacking areas. I put them as favourites. I mean, 7 again today is pretty stunning. What do you think? Do you think they're the ones to beat?
Yeah, I would have to say that, mate. You know, in the group with Bayern Munich, they look like there's goal threat in them. They look like it's a team that wants to prove a point. Neymar's made a massive difference to just giving them, I don't know whether it was a bit of swagger, a little bit more belief. But yeah, I think, you know, any of the English teams that come up with them are going to have their work cut out certainly over 2 games. But yeah, they'd be favourites. Let's move it, just before we finish, back to the Premier League. Yeah. A couple of bits of news, Rob. Yeah. The first one, Umar Nias, the first player who's retrospectively been banned for diving. Interestingly, Everton appealed it. They lost the appeal, so he's now got a 2-game ban. Mm. Any problem with it?
I love it. And if viewers haven't seen it, please try and see it. I think as soon as we saw Rob, we both worked in the studio for the same game. It's like, wow, there you go. There's the first one. First one that's going to get done because there was a little bit of arm across, but nothing. Mm. You know, Everton, David Unsworth trying to say, you know, there's contact there. Contact, you're opening a can of worms now, and I expect this
not
board to be very busy.
It was a
crazy over-exaggeration and a dive. And I'm so pleased that it happened because I've been listening to ex-referees over the last couple of days, Rob, saying that, well, you know, this rule is never going to get used. You know, it is getting used, and it got used absolutely correctly. I'm so pleased that it happened and that the three guys on the board were unanimous in saying it was a dive because I think it will help the Premier League in trying to cut this out. So I'm so thrilled that it's this. Well, I'm not thrilled to see a dive, but I'm really pleased that it got punished.
Yeah, certainly going to have an influence on people as they get in and around the 18-yard box. Last bit of news, Rob, and we talked about it on the shows at the weekend. West Bromwich Albion got beat 4-0 by Chelsea, and there was rumours that Tony Pulis' job was on the line. We never thought thought it was going to happen. Monday morning, we get the official press from West Bromwich Albion that Tony Pulis has been allowed to leave. They're now on the manhunt for the next Tony Pulis to keep them in the league. I mean, it's bizarre. I've seen like Alan Pardew's name, Sam Allardyce, who's, you know, Tony Pulis Mark II. Is this about style? Is this about staying in the league's only one part? We need a little bit more entertainment from Tony Pulis' team. But because the only thing I would say, Rob, before you just have your word, is that if I'm in the bottom half of the Premier League, and I've got one manager to keep me in the league, I take Tony Pulis above them all. Above Sam Allardyce, above Alan Pardew, above David Moyes, above Sean Dyche, I take Tony Pulis.
There's one answer for me on this, and I'm very strong on it. If you want to change Tony Pulis, I get it. I get it, because of the style and 2 wins in 21 and listen to West Brom fans. I know a few of them as well, and it's been dreadfully difficult to watch. Wait until the summer.
Yeah.
Wait until the summer, because he's going
to
keep
change
you.
Some
he's
of the players if you need to. Do you think McCauley and Dawson are going to start Cruyffing turns out the back, playing into midfield, doing 1-2s and spreading it wide, Pep Guardiola style? It isn't going to happen, Rob. These players have been well drilled and understand how to defend. Listen, they might have had a little bad run, but really?
I'm looking at the league table now, Rob. I mean, we had 5, haven't we? We've had 5 manager sackings,
haven't we?
I mean that's 1 in 4. I mean, I look at the bottom. Palace,
Paul
Swansea, West Ham, West Brom.
Paul Clement must be looking at things and thinking, You know, yeah, well, is he going to be next?
He's going to be the next one because the others down there have all changed their manager. Everton, yeah. Next one's up. You go a little bit higher for Leicester. So, yeah, that's my only comment on that. I just think, you know what, I get the star, but he's been there for a while. You know what he's going to do to get out of it. I just don't believe that they were going to go down with Tony Pulis. But listen, maybe we're being too negative, Rob. Maybe with a different manager, they're going to fly away from that zone and they are going to do Cruyff turns and stuff.
Didn't Frank de Boer come in at Crystal Palace as a different manager to change stuff? Had a window to do it, and we've seen what effect that he's had at Crystal Palace. Here's one for you. I'm going to throw it out. If Swansea get rid of Paul Clement, Tony Pulis is Welsh. Yeah. Could go in Swansea and do a job. He might not be out of work too long. So we'll keep an eye on
Ronald Koeman? What about Ronald Koeman to West Brom?
Koeman.
Let's start the merry-go-round. Let's start a few of those. Nigel Pearson. Nigel Pearson's been.
Thought you'd get your mate in.
Big Nige. Get Big Nige in.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of names in for it. And as ever in every Premier League job, there'll be plenty of candidates who want to get in there. So we'll see how that one plays, see how long Tony Pulis stays out of business. Mm. But you've heard from us. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Firstly, can you rate and review our shows by downloading the Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts? Tell us what you like about the shows, where we can improve it. But more importantly, we also want to know what team you support and why you support that team. Let us know and we'll read out the best two or three responses on our next podcast. So, on generally what was a decent week for the Premier League teams in Europe, Manchester United still got work to do, but Liverpool yet again showed us their Jekyll and Hyde personality that could undermine their season. I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the Two Robbies, thanks for listening and bye for now.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.